Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And it is Tuesday, the 2nd of August, and away we go. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Hey.
Hey. Head of the journalism program at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo, joins us. Good morning.
Hey.
And associate editor of the Times Union newspaper, Mike Spain.
Hey.
the ever bubbly, Mike Spain. Good morning. Welcome to our program and to the panel discussion. Of course, we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. I want to start with something. We've been talking about the, I think, yesterday and even on Friday for a little bit, talked about the Khan family, and then this has turned into a major kerfuffle in the campaign, an issue.
Yeah, that word is not strong enough for what
okay,
this is.
An
it's
issue,
a
flashpoint, I believe, is the word the New York Times used.
Oh, that's
a
good.
Flashpoint in the campaign. So there was a letter that came out that we got out of the normal, out of the hour, as it were.
Yeah,
But I put it aside and flagged it because I thought it was an interesting one. I thought we'd start off with it just to talk a little bit. It's from Steve, who says, "I'm an enthusiastic Hillary supporter. I voted for her in the 2008 primary. In this year's primary, I will be proud to vote for her in November. However," and this is about the Khan family, "anyone who stands up to make a speech at a political party convention on national TV does so for an overtly political purpose. The Khans were not there to talk about their pain and their sacrifice. They were there to attack Trump. We can honor their sacrifice while still recognizing that they were serving a political purpose and therefore warrant a political response. They put themselves in the public eye to attack a political candidate. Just as Gold Star families deserve respect for their sacrifice, they should also not use their sacrifice as a political tool or an electoral weapon. Doing so denigrates their sacrifice for all of us and makes their pain just another stone that can be thrown in this election." I thought it was a good letter. I don't know that I agree with all of it, but I thought there were some good points in there.
Okay, so I don't agree with any of it. So you didn't agree with all of it. I didn't agree with any of it. Here's why. Politics, as we all know, we've been talking about this for years, is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources. Everything in this world is political. Trump threw everything at Hillary that he possibly could, including, you know, there was this whole thing about Muslims in America. And it was a brilliant strategic move for Hillary to bring on the Khan family, and she did it. It turned things around. All of a sudden, everybody didn't have to just implicitly hate Muslims in this country. There were good reasons to respect Muslims and good citizens, Muslims who were citizens. So I don't think your letter writer was correct. I think he was just wrong.
I think you just supported the letter writer. Hillary made a brilliant move supporting her political view by bringing them on. The problem here has been not that Trump responded to them. Yeah, they are fair game. But how he responded to them. May I point out that Patricia Sullivan, whose son died tragically in Benghazi, came to the Republican committee. And now she really did viciously attack and has continued to viciously attack Hillary, saying she's a killer. I hold her personally responsible for the death of my son. You do not hear Hillary coming out and saying this woman needs she needs psychological help, get her off the stage and onto a couch, all of which actually might be justified. But you don't hear it because all you really feel is that woman's incredible grief. And that's the difference between the two candidates. So, yeah, they were political, but that still doesn't justify what Donald Trump did.
I'm sorry, Rosemary. You can hear me in my best condescending voice here. I don't exactly understand how that letter writer, I proved the letter writer's point, unless we heard different letters.
Because you just talked about how brilliant it was for Hillary to bring them on.
Correct.
Make the point that Donald Trump is wrong, i.e. made a political point.
Yes. Well, but he said that, but I don't think he was admiring of the Khans coming on or of Hillary. I don't think
well,
that's what
the line that I agree with, and it's just a factual thing, is that they were there, yes, to talk about their pain and sacrifice, but they were there to attack Trump. That's what they were there for.
I think they performed a very important public service. I think they just by being there, and they were there politically to attack Donald Trump and to speak from the voice of a family of Muslim Americans who are dedicated Americans, whose son enlisted right after 9/11 and went off to fight for the United States in Iraq and tragically was killed. And that was a voice we don't hear from. But the other is, just by what they did, and they have exposed Donald Trump to be a tedious, superficial individual.
Wait, a tedious?
I mean, he
did you say a tedious?
Yes, I did.
I don't know what that word means.
Well, I mean, he tedious.
Oh, tedious.
Yes, tedious. So okay. We mispronounce things sometimes.
No, I thought that was just one of those
but,
many.
But
words
I don't want
to
be
know.
A dis- I don't want that to be a distraction.
All right.
He made so much of it. It would have been just like the woman whose son died in Benghazi. It would have been a one-day story, and it would have been gone.
Well, that's the point that keeps on being made on the editorial pages, that this is a story that could have lasted half of a news cycle if it wasn't continued by Donald Trump.
So all of a sudden, post-convention bump, Hillary is now sufficiently ahead so that a couple of us can at least draw in our breaths a little bit. Do you think Khan was the bump in the road for him?
I don't think it hurt.
It was a number of things. It was Khan. It was that dark speech. The polls also showed that it was the reception to the Hillary Clinton speech was much greater than to the to Donald Trump. People didn't like it. There were very strong negatives. That didn't help. His Russia stuff is getting very extremely weird. Did not seem like he understood what was happening in Ukraine, but supported Russia's view of
and
it
the
anyway.
Campaign,
I don't know that the polls are even reflecting that yet.
But this new stuff, seeing more than just polls. It isn't just polls that have gone against him. He's got people like John McCain and Paul Ryan coming out even and saying he's a mess.
And supporting him continually.
Supporting him, but condemning him.
We have to let the moderator. We have to let the moderator control things around here.
Can we
only when it's convenient.
Can we talk about the about John McCain and his remarks yesterday? He was really the first Republican to take on Donald Trump and denounce his comments, and went a lot farther than most.
Well, how about Romney? Romney was there very early. And really
that's true.
Him,
but John McCain is running for re-election to the Senate,
right?
And is an active political office holder. Romney is a former candidate,
and he's also a former target of Mr. Trump as well. Yeah.
On very similar issues.
Yeah.
So Senator John McCain sharply criticized Donald Trump's comments about the family of a fallen Muslim army captain on Monday, a rebuke that provided an opening for other vulnerable Republican senators to do the same, even though they all stopped short of rescinding their endorsements of him.
Don't you think that's coming, though?
Don't you think that's coming? One of them is going to break. One of them is going to say, okay, it might be Kelly Ayetta of New Hampshire who finally just says, well, she has, right? I mean, she's not supporting him. I mean, there's going to be more like her, I think. And that may begin it might not happen until the first debate. If there are any debates, it's another story.
Well, the real question is whether the Bushes, who have let it be known how unhappy they are with McCain. I mean, after all, these are two past presidents of the United States who are frankly looking better and better all the time.
Are they unhappy with McCain for not for continuing to support Trump? Is that what you mean?
I'm sorry.
Did you say they're unhappy with McCain or
unhappy with Trump?
Oh, okay.
Trump.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sergio.
The line that John McCain used, while our party has bestowed upon him the nomination, it is not accompanied by unfettered license to defame those who are the best among us.
Right. Well, and he's talking about himself. Because, as you know, they put him in a tiger cage, and he had to suffer during that entire Vietnamese imprisonment. And then along comes Trump and says terrible things about him.
There is this weird change where views and values of Republicans have suddenly become Democratic. I hate John McCain. I don't like anything he stands for, but I do think he deserves respect as a war hero. He went through hell for this country.
Yeah.
And yet I'm a liberal Democrat. How did that happen? And flag waving and chants of USA and America is great. Those were all Democratic this year. They're not Republican. It's just such a reversal.
Well, it's almost as if the Democrats sat down around a big round table and said, what do we have to answer? What do we have to answer? And that's one of them. We're not American. Wave the American flag. Muslims are bad. And show
them some patriotic Muslims.
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, while Mr. Khan was speaking at the Democratic National Convention, he said, my son gave the ultimate sacrifice. What have you sacrificed, Mr. Trump? In response,
unbelievable.
Trump said that building buildings and putting his name on him was a lot of hard work, and it was a great sacrifice. Then comes the...
Bill Maher said he confused success with sacrifice.
And then comes the New York Times that amid the sacrifice debate, they looked at how he avoided the war, avoided the Vietnam War, while criticizing the parents of a Muslim soldier killed in combat. It has been revealed that he received 5 deferments from the Vietnam draft. One of them was for bone spurs in his heels, saying, you know, it was difficult from the long-term walking standpoint.
But they did heal. He's also pointed out in that story that they have since
It was healed. Not a long-standing problem.
No.
Till the war was out, till his deferment was given.
One of those was that he kind of won the draft lottery. We had the draft lottery back at that time.
That was after, though.
Yeah, after the bone spurs kept him out.
Which would have been natural because you were into the system later, so your number would have been higher.
Well, you know, many people, including me, were deferred. And one can only say that, you know, you can make an argument about whether deferments were appropriate or not, but you don't cast aspersions at the guys who went. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and the other thing about this is that this goes into the entire Donald Trump narrative that what he said, because 2 years ago he said that the story isn't consistent on the deferments. The story isn't consistent
right.
He said many different things about his Vietnam service and what went in and what went out, and that he was at Wharton and he was looking at the numbers and he was scared to death. And meanwhile, it didn't happen until after he had already graduated. And so there's a lot of inconsistencies in that story.
There's another point too, Joe, and that's that he's made put a real emphasis on how great a champion he is of veterans. He says he gave them $6 million. Reporters can find no proof of that. And now this,
He didn't give it to them.
He gave them
until
the
Washington Post.
Oh, right.
Even then, it was only a portion of it. Yeah.
But some of his assertions of what he has given to veterans turned out in the past to have been like golf games that are worth $400 at one of his resorts. He's given away golf games to get raffled off, and then the raffle money would add up to more, and that's how he kind of builds what he gives. You know?
Meanwhile, is it appropriate for a presidential candidate to call another presidential candidate the devil?
Now, this one, of course, is...
Yeah, but the polls agree with it.
this one, of course, is extraordinary. As you all know, because Mario Cuomo was fond of pointing it out, Chartuk in Russian means little devil. So I'm an expert, you know, on the
being
subject.
Being called the devil.
Yeah, on the subject. However, I have to say that this is the most extraordinary thing. I've already heard from several other people who have other candidates. They say, she can't be the devil because so-and-so is the devil, you know. So
there could only be one devil, and it's not her.
This was the
I know
theme
the
that,
devil, and it's not her.
This was the theme that Ben Carson brought up at the convention.
Lucifer.
She had her thesis advisor was a Lucifer supporter. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is the weirdest election I have ever.
Well,
paid
but this is really
to.
Going to get her in trouble. This
her
devil,
in
this,
trouble?
Yeah, oh, him in trouble. I'm sorry.
Yes.
This devil thing is really going to get him in trouble. I just think that there's nobody. It's turning now into a joke, and a joke will kill him.
Well, I think the most important thing to come out of this whole thing the last few days is that Hillary is now effectively saying that here's a guy who will have access to the nuclear codes and one tweet or one comment will taunt him enough to kind of lose his cool. That's dangerous. And I think that line is going to sustain her.
So then it seems as though, and I think we've talked about this on the show many times, that in the cycles where Donald Trump is in extreme... crazy mode. I don't know what else to call it. I don't know. So that all Hillary Clinton really needs to do is to sit down and watch and make the appropriate comment.
Shut up.
Well, then she went on Fox News Sunday.
Chris Wallace. Oh.
And did not necessarily shut up.
She didn't take your advice, Joe.
She shouldn't have done it.
Okay, so...
No, she should have answered better. That was not an unexpected question, and she gave a foolish answer.
Make sure that our audience knows what
I'm waiting
what
for Joe to do.
Okay, so Hillary Clinton on Fox News Sunday said, Director Comey said my answers were truthful, and what I said is consistent with what I have told the American people. They were decisions discussed and made to classify retroactively certain of the emails. Clinton made these remarks on Fox News Sunday. Host Chris Wallace played a video of her saying, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified materials. I am confident that I never sent nor received any information that was classified as the time. As Wallace put it, after a long investigation, James Comey said, none of those things that you told the American people were true.
Yep. And the question was going to come. Comey basically didn't say anything positive about or to her except, we're not going to indict you. That was the only thing. So for her to answer that question that way was just foolish.
And then she denied it again to him.
Yep.
And then he played the tape between Trey Gowdy, the chair of the House Select Committee on Benghazi, and Comey.
Yeah.
And which basically said that Gowdy said Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails. Either sent or received. Was that true? And Comey said, that's not true.
Here's what she had to do if I were her PR person. It's there is still disagreement between the State Department and the FBI on that. At the time I said it, and actually still now, I believe I didn't send anything classified. So that what she said instead put her definitely in harm's way, and I am holding my breath to see what Julian Assange may still drop.
Okay, we have 10 seconds, but this gets how many Pinocchios from the Washington Post?
Four, maximum number.
There you go. Okay, we'll be back right after this and continue our conversation, WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain make up the group this morning. We welcome your letters, roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. That is where we receive letters like these.
Oh, letters like these. Da, 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 da. Okay, Kermit says, while Clinton and Trump, assisted or even facilitated by the media in this Kafkaesque farce, nobody is addressing any real issues such as the $21 trillion government debt. This campaign gives cover to all the things that are wrong with our economy and drowns the question, why has nobody been indicted in the financial meltdown that nearly cast us back into the Depression? And Matt Mann says, let's just add a third HD radio stream on WMC. I'm putting that in. Call it Trump Crazy and charge $1 a minute, 6 minutes, $5. Direct these charges to the lockbox, and by fall time, boom, filled, well done. Yes. Henry says, Trump does not understand the difference between running for his party's nomination and then running in the general election. Jim says, maybe Putin will release Trump's returns. Now, I think that's a very interesting one. Do you think it's possible that Assange and Putin have access to the Trump returns? And since Assange has made it clear that he hates Hillary and is quiet on Trump, if they do have certain kind of information that will only hurt Hillary, would they release something that they had on Trump?
I don't think they have his tax returns, and I no, in short.
Okay.
No. But right. I did like Warren Buffett yesterday challenging Trump to a tax off. His taxes are also being audited. Meet you anytime, anywhere, and we'll answer all questions about our tax returns. That would be fun.
The big point on the tax returns is that Trump keeps insisting, I can't release my returns because they're being audited. And, you know, even Richard Nixon released his tax returns while he was being audited.
He said he's received several letters from the federal government saying
clarifying
that the audit, that he would not be able to release his tax returns because of the audit. And as the Washington Post in their editorial yesterday noted, that apparently it's with the letter from the NFL.
Yes, that's a good comment.
The tax people have denied it.
Yes.
The IRS has said it isn't true.
Right.
So, oh, wow, he lied. How many Pinocchios is that?
Well, how many Pinocchios, how many times has he received four Pinocchios from the Washington
13,
Post?
We believe.
13.
Yeah. So that was as of yesterday. One. I don't know. He may have gotten more.
He's been talking.
Let me just try to get into this, because during the break, people have had things to say about this. I want to make sure that everybody out there is joined in this. And that is, can Trump win this election?
Yes.
And the answer still is yes.
In 90 days, a lot can happen.
Yeah. For example, what could happen?
Well, Julian Assange may release some other documents he has that might be unfavorable to Hillary Clinton.
And says he will, by the way.
I don't know what that could be, but, you know, that could happen.
Hillary is capable of doing it to herself, let's be honest.
Yeah. There might be something connected perhaps to the Clinton Foundation. Maybe there's some documents on that might come out and portray her unfavorably.
Although we should note that the last barrage of emails that were released ultimately did not hurt her. They actually helped her more than
Yeah, there's a lot of... Right, because Trump then went crazy. But
botched it, yes.
Yeah. Which is odd that he, you know, that emails could then become a positive for her, but it happened. There's a lot of speculation that he's released what he has. There's really nothing else. Why would he hold it back? You know?
Well, because he may want to make a difference later on. That's possible. We have to look
October
at
October surprise.
We have to look at the possibilities. Then, of course, any kind of terrible thing that happens in this country. Killing, shootings, that kind of thing. That might hurt.
ISIS is paying attention to Brazil these days, learning Portuguese.
Oh, really?
And all.
That's the way it works.
Oh, yeah.
That's where
they're recruiting in Portuguese.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
We have a story.
Is that in our list today? Oh, my gosh. They've put out calls for Portuguese speakers and calling for lone wolves, you know, those types of attacks in Latin America, as if the Brazilian Olympics didn't have enough problems.
Well, if on the contrary, I think, Rosemary, and that is, if they can pull something off in this country, they will. I don't think it's one or the other. And that could help Trump.
You're right. If the timing of that and the severity of that could unfortunately sway public opinion away from one candidate to another. And the idea that ISIS would have impact, or that the Soviets, the Russians and Putin, well, Putin is a Soviet, really.
Yes,
sure. Would have a direct impact on the outcome of a U.S. election is appalling, but actually true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want me to move on?
No, you can do a couple more letters.
Okay. Hello, Roundtable. It's from Dan. Regarding the Trump issue, was Mr. Khan attacking Mr. Trump, or was he defending his son from attacks by the fear-mongering rhetoric of Mr. Trump? Mr. Trump is quick to play the victim card. He wasn't being attacked by Mr. Khan. Mr. Khan was defending his son from Mr. Trump, a distinction with an important difference, though likely lost on Trump supporters, as it involves holding more than one concept in their mind at the same time. Thank you, and keep up.
Now, he was attacked. Trump was attacked by Khan. I think Trump's behavior was inexcusable, but the man said, has he even read the Constitution? He's never made a sacrifice. That's an attack.
He still would have been smart, as you said earlier, to shut up.
Absolutely.
What did we hear from Hillary Clinton after she was attacked by the mother of the fellow that was killed in
And she really was.
She was viciously attacked.
She's unhinged. It was like, Hillary kills people. That's what she said on CNN yesterday. She's also doing follow-up interviews. I don't like the mothers of dead soldiers, the black mothers of men killed by police brutality.
Right.
Trotting them out is, God, it's
horrible. But getting back to the question, what has Hillary Clinton said about that? And she has said nothing, because there's nothing you can say when someone is grieving that way.
Her response is exactly right, and Trump should copy it, which is, I can't imagine what she's going through.
Exactly.
I cannot imagine what she's thinking.
But anyone who attacks him is going to get...
And he said that in one of his interviews yesterday. He said, if I get attacked, I'm going to reply.
Right. If I
and
get
then
hit,
Hillary
you're
jumped
get
right
hit.
On it and said, so a tweet from somebody is going to
cause
World
War III.
Right.
Yep.
But this goes to show something about Hillary, which is very positive. She's been so tested over all of these years, what with the stuff with Bill and his girlfriend and all the rest of this stuff, really knows how to play it for the most part. But as Rosemary appropriately points out, it was dumb to go on Chris Wallace and basically tell what most of us think is a lie.
Yes, it certainly didn't look good.
I mean, you could again. I'll just one more time. I'll bring this home. She said Comey cleared her. That's the lie. She could have argued we disagree on it. We'll never agree on it. Mr. Comey didn't clear me, but I have a clear conscience. If she had done any of those things, so easy, she'd be okay. And she just has this great gift for putting her foot in her mouth.
Yeah, fortunately for her, Donald Trump continues to do the same, and he seems to be getting more attention. Yeah,
he's stuffing both feet in.
Barbara says, I'm very worried about Trump's discussion of the election being rigged, setting up a huge crisis if Hillary wins. Not me. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, there was an AP story about that, and it's a new narrative that he is predicting the general election is going to be rigged. And he's saying, and he's using the way that the party primaries were operating to justify that. Now, the way a party operates a primary is not a constitutionally protected process. An election is, and comparing the two, I think, is a big mistake, but people may agree with him. If he doesn't win, it was because he was cheated. It was rigged.
Well, there will be some who do. Yeah. But right now, he really is turning into a clown before our very eyes.
The Daily News had asserted that a year ago.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Frelinghuysen, Morris House, and Studio Lennox. This season, see their world. Vintage films from the 30s taken by artist George L.K. Morris, showing South America, New York, and Europe. Hourly guided tours Thursday through Sunday, Frelinghuysen.org. Sunwood Builders Amherst, over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits. Working to save energy while maintaining design features, sunwood-builders.com. Mango Tree Imports, a global fair trade shop in downtown Saratoga Springs, New York, featuring artisan goods from more than 60 countries. MangoTreeImports.com and Facebook. And Behold New Lebanon, the living museum where farmers, cheesemakers, animal trainers, homesteaders, and 40 more locals show how they work and live in contemporary rural America. Saturdays through October 15th, BeholdNewLebanon.org.
Pit crew action throughout the break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's get on to some other issues that we want to talk about that are going on. Anybody want to talk about Zika in Florida? We heard yesterday that the CDC has issued a travel advisory to Florida, which has 10 new cases of Zika. Let me ask our resident, our former Floridian.
Yeah, I would be so worried if I were a young woman there, I would get out if I were and were thinking of getting pregnant. I think that the travel advisory is very smart, and at least in the United States, they do not have to worry about taking contraceptives or abortions, even if it's called for. Whereas women in Latin America facing this same threat have religious restrictions on their behavior too. It's a terrible situation, but Zika results
in
women
here have the
controls.
Same religious restrictions. They just ignore them, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And there are fewer Catholics. I mean, it's overwhelmingly Catholic in Brazil and Central America. So I've decided in reading the story, I knew we were going to talk about it today, that I want to go crazy. I thought I did that with Ebola. I thought that was, okay, this is it. We really are not prepared. The CDC is not acting officially. Remember, there was one hospital after another that was letting this go through. I actually think they learned a lot from that, and they are behaving really well so far.
However, it's become a funding issue.
Funding
a
issue.
A political
right.
issue in Congress where
Good.
The Republicans and the Democrats are deadlocked over the Democrats.
They went home.
$1.1 billion dollars and left town without approving the $1 billion that the CDC has requested. The Republicans said you can have your $1 billion if you take it from Ebola and Planned Parenthood, basically.
Yeah.
And the Democrats refused, and that's where it kind of stalemated, and they left town. And perhaps, arguably, the CDC does not have the funds to wage the fight that they they need to wage. They say they can beat it in a year. They can come up with a vaccine in a year that will protect people.
Well, what about spraying? In other words,
they're doing it in Florida. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
They need to spray.
Yeah. I mean, they're going around, and you know, people are using insect repellent, and they're going around and you know, emptying the tire in your backyard where the water accumulates. Things like that. Old-fashioned tricks to reduce mosquitoes. More bats. We need more bats.
You know? Well, there will be some who object to the spraying. You know that, and saying that that's terrible. In the same way, there are some people who will not inoculate their kids. You know, for the favor for these terrible diseases, putting others at risk. Oh, did I say that? Hmm. Oh, are there going to be letters? I don't know.
Well, it is such a grave health threat to women who are of childbearing years, who may become pregnant or who are pregnant, that it, extreme measures are warranted in Florida, where these 10 cases have been identified.
And, you know, if it's in Florida, it isn't going to stop in Florida. That's a frightening thing as well.
Yeah. It's going to go, well, the map, there is a map that accompanies the article in the Washington Post, I think, that shows basically the southern half of the United States that is very vulnerable to this. Rosemary mentioned this a few moments ago, and I just also want to talk about this. As ISIS posts in Portuguese, U.S., and Brazil bolster Olympic security. The Olympics officially start on Friday, I believe. Worried about possible attacks at the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil's government is working closely with American law enforcement and intelligence services to identify threats and thwart potential disasters at the game. Despite its notorious battles with violent crime, Brazil has largely been spared the kind of brazen terrorist attacks that have rattled much of the world in recent years, with Brazilian officials long playing down the nation's vulnerability to homegrown extremism. But jihadists are calling for mayhem at the Olympics, building on a wave of killings in Europe, the United States, and elsewhere over the last year, including the massacre of 130 people in Paris and lone wolf attacks inspired by the Islamic State that has raised broad fears about Brazil's security preparations for the Games. Two issues here. First of all, is there a credible terrorist threat to the Olympics? And two, is the security anywhere near what it needs to be to thwart such attacks?
Well, first of all you need is one nut with a gun. Let's face it. So somebody says, okay, I'm going to take a gun and I'm going to start shooting people because, you know, my colleagues in ISIS have asked me to do it. They'll do it. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. They'll do it. That's a credible threat to me.
Yes, I would say it's credible. I think that Brazil has been preparing for this for several years with U.S. collaboration on training and supplies and equipment. It actually has brought about something of a thaw in relations between Brazil and the United States as they have worked
on. Yeah, but Rosemary, how do you stop it?
Well,
the first question was, is there a threat?
A credible
they
threat.
Certainly have to take it
absolutely.
If there is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to behave that way, which is what they're doing, and the United States is assisting. And, I mean, that's the only appropriate thing to do.
Yeah. The she's not the former president, the impeached and disgraced president, Dilma Rousseff, is that how radio people, is that how you say her last name, has said she had an interview on Time magazine this week saying, yeah, we've been worried about this from the beginning and there's plenty of security. Don't worry about it. That made me worried.
That's like a dare. Yeah. You know? And as you pointed out, Joe, you know, this is just the latest problem that is affecting the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. It's been one thing after another. And
sewage
now security,
in the water is kind of a problem.
Zika is a big issue.
Zika is an issue.
Steroids,
of course,
not to mention steroids, who are knocking out some of the most colorful characters.
And you just think of the, I mean, we had a bombing during the Olympics in this country.
We did.
In Atlanta.
We did. And then there was Munich. There's a kind of a tradition of terrorism at Olympics. It's frightening.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that the Olympics draws this kind of thing is because they know the whole world is watching. Terrorists and political opportunists know the whole world is watching. There's so many things going against this Olympics that maybe not that many people will be watching, and it may actually make it a little safer.
Or they quite the opposite.
Yeah.
They may be watching because they want to see what's going to happen.
Well, I keep thinking of the Parisians who are all ready for an attack during the World Cup and nothing happened. And then a week later, there was Nice. There was a truck in Nice. So yes, they're capable of building up all the worry because it's kind of a form of terrorism that we're all worried about this now.
It is. It's
and then
effective.
Strike yeah. right mm-hmm. afterward, too.
But from a, you know, aside from the very serious issue of terrorism and the threat, are you going to be watching the way you've watched past Olympics? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Well, no, I agree with Mike.
I'm not as interested this time.
I mean, I think...
It's just because we're older. I mean, I'm sorry, the gymnasts this year, the swimmers this year, they're amazing. Yes, I will be watching.
It's weird to see. It's weird, right? It's weird to see all of the excitement that you know NBC is trying to generate when NBC has this whole machine and of course
uniting the world,
right? And yeah. and showing all of this. And meanwhile, then when you watch the newscast, it I don't know. It seems to me they need to be more responsible when they're doing this of like, okay, this is going on, but also here's what's happening in the – because they're almost trying to whitewash it.
I don't see that they're whitewashing. I think that security has figured in all the stories I've looked at. But
I mean NBC.
Sports is all – well, yeah, they're promoting. Sports is though – it is uplifting. And we do see in it a release from all the other wars. And it is all the countries in the world competing. The Olympics are and have been for centuries this amazing uniting event. I can't fault – NBC
well, there no doubt will be some compelling stories, right. you know, athletic stories, and, you know, that'll generate some publicity, and then the people will navigate to those matches or those finals or those games, whatever it turns out to be, individuals or teams.
I'm sorry. I love watching even, forget it, going to professional. Serena Williams makes you forget everything. Watch her in action. It's awesome. So.
All right. Let's final thing I want to talk about, and then we'll finish up with some letters. But the we should mention that U.S. strikes Islamic State stronghold in Libya, expanding the campaign against ISIS, which somewhat fits into the story that we were just talking about. They launched airstrikes in the Islamic State stronghold in Libya, according to the Pentagon yesterday. The first direct U.S. involvement in the fierce battle unfolding there, and a significant expansion of the American campaign against the group.
Well, I got to feel, I'm sure you do too, that when we get called in, when we don't want to do it, it means that things are not going that well. They need our help. So that's why we're doing it. The real question is, does it expand? Do the boots follow planes? And I have a feeling that this president is opposed to that.
Yeah, but he's only going to be president for less than a year.
Yeah.
Several months.
And will he be replaced by a more hawkish person?
It looks like he probably will if you follow the polls. Well,
regardless of who wins, both of them are more hawkish than Obama has been.
Although Donald Trump is insisting that, you know, going back to the cons attacking him, that he wouldn't have been in Iraq if he were president, and therefore there wouldn't have been the death.
Neither would Obama if it had been up to him. Yeah. And the same thing is happening to the next president that happened to Obama. They will be inheriting a situation where we're already at war. This is not a good thing. It is a mess in the Middle East. I understand that there's pressure to do something, but that's all it is just doing something.
It's like a tar baby. You know,
yep.
You just
stuck
it
the other hand.
Stuck.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
All right, let's finish up with a few letters in our last 3 or 4 minutes.
All right, Grace says, Comey specifically stated that in 3 hours of questioning, Clinton was truthful. Hillary conflated that issue with her public statements. Very poor effort on her part.
Agree.
Gary says, Trump is right. The election is rigged. His party is making a big effort to suppress the votes of black voters. This is happening on the state level. In the New York Times, an article yesterday about the effort moving down to the local level. Yeah, that's a good letter, too. Corrected, how Trump got elected as a candidate. After the crash, the wealthy Republicans lost much more than the poor. Poor in the nation are Latinos, blacks, working women who are in with the Democrats. They lost, but they also proportionally had less and are used to harder times. Well, there's more to it, but you got to keep your letters down. Thank you for that. And Robert says, hi, folks. Is the Trump conduct that you'd expect for someone running for president? How about the criticism from other Republicans? You know better. To repeat, it's all a big sham and theater. Trump will keep it coming. Dems and reps will criticize. Trump will play thin-skinned and offer some excuse for dropping out. And Paul Ryan, a.k.a. Mr. Slick, will step in with more scripted relief from the Republicans. And Ms. Hillary will have a real fight on her hands. If Trump were serious, he'd definitely release his tax returns. And we get serious about campaigning, the whole supposed dust up just to net up. So this is a conspiracy theory, right? The Trump is running as
for
a conspiracy.
Maximum publicity, which he really has. Mike and I were discussing this before we came in. It does fit that scenario.
Yeah, except that Trump is a damn serious candidate and he wants to win. And anybody who thinks that's wrong is just making stuff up.
Well, he might get more by not running, because if it looks like he can't win, he gets out by saying, oh, I'm aggrieved. The system was rigged against me. He's still getting maximum exposure. He's still a political force.
Well, there's some interest in what a post, if Trump were to lose the election, would he become then the spokesman for the whole Tea Party movement?
20 seconds.
He's done. Yeah. He'll be done if that happens. And no, this is not a conspiracy. The guy wants to be president.
Okay.
Wow, he's spoken.
I've spoken.
All right. Yeah. We will end
and
there.
And so I saith.
We will end there. And Alan, Rosemary, Mike, thank you very much. We will be back tomorrow with another panel, and we will continue the roundtable right after this short break.